Let's turn again to John's Gospel, chapter 16, beginning in verse 16. Let's hear the Word of God. A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me, because I go to the Father. And some of his disciples said among themselves, "What is this that he says to us? A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me, and because I go to the Father." They said therefore, "What is this that he says, a little while? We do not know what he is saying." Now Jesus knew that they desired to ask him, and he said to them, "Are you inquiring among yourselves about what I said, a little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me? Most assuredly I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you." Heavenly Father, I ask your blessing again this morning. In the midst of all these things that are going on, your name will be glorified in what we do. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to illuminate the scriptures to us, that you open our hearts and open our minds to receive them. And we do thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I wonder how many times that we have read the Bible or we've heard God's word preached and we understood it completely the first time. I think if you have, then you are quite an amazing person. Because even God knows that we won't get every teaching or understand every doctrine the first time. That's, you know, he instilled repetition as a primary principle for learning. It's by God's design that we go over things over and over and over again. Sometimes you might say too much. Sometimes you might say not enough. But either way, that's the principle. You teach God's word over and over and over, because we're hard-headed human beings and our sin natures like to rise up and fight against what it is we learn. And so we have to repeat. We have to keep going over and over. If that's the case, I'm wondering about the passage that we're looking at this morning. Don't you think it might be just a little bit interesting that Jesus is in the waning hours of his earthly ministry, and yet he chooses to speak to his disciples in the form almost of a riddle, because they don't get it. Jesus tells them something, but they're not, it's not registering to them. It's not sinking in. You know, if it was so close to the end, wouldn't you think that Jesus would have taught his men in a fashion that was clear and plain and very understandable? And I kind of think he actually did. I don't think, you know, although we read it, and it appears to the disciples to be a bit of a riddle, I don't think his teaching was in that nature. I think his teaching was pretty clear. He said what he meant. Now, just because the disciples did not understand it didn't make the teaching unclear. Meant that they just weren't up to speed They just weren't able to understand what it was that was being taught to them. He made them think, because they didn't just let him give this teaching. He didn't just say to them that it's going to be a little while, I'll be gone. A little while later, I'm coming back. You know, they didn't miss out on that. It made them think about what it was he was teaching them. And it made them question. Sometimes if you're teaching, you want people to have questions. Sometimes, it's really hard to believe that you can teach something and everybody, like I said, and everybody gets it. They never have a question. Sometimes you want those questions because it allows you to fall back to the issue of repetition. That allows you to go over things again. And maybe take them from a different perspective or whatnot. But you're able to repeat and instill a truth. And that's what you're going for. Even if the disciples didn't completely grasp what Jesus was teaching them, the opportunity was still there to reinforce what Jesus was teaching them. He says, in a little while. A little while and you'll not see me. And again a little while and you will see me. Because I go to the Father. Jesus meant just exactly what he said. He meant, in a very little while, the disciples would cease to observe the physical Christ in ministry. In a very little while, this Jesus that they had been associated with over the last 3.5 years, this Son of God who they had been participating in ministry with over the last 3.5 years, was going to be gone. At this very moment, Jesus is literally on his way to spend some time in prayer, to be betrayed, and then taken into custody by the local authorities. It was a very little while that he was going to be departing from the brothers. The disciples were not going to get up tomorrow morning and have breakfast with Jesus. Jesus said what he meant. In a little while, he would die. And seeing him in that present physical condition was going to be over. But then he adds quickly, again, a little while, and you will see me. This is a word of assurance. Sometimes that's what we need. Sometimes we need to be assured or reassured because we're frail humans. Sometimes we need that word that is fitly spoken. Sometimes, corona or not, we need somebody to put their arm around our shoulder and encourage us and speak a word to us to remind us of the goodness of God to us, to remind us that Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and that he watches out for his people. We need that word of assurance. Jesus says, a little while and I will be back to see you, he says to the brethren here. And what he's telling them is, death is not going to hold me. People fear death. In our current situation, in this country, in this world, people fear death. This issue, this little disease that's been raised up has a 97% recovery rate. People don't usually die from this. And yet the fear is there. And for some reason, they buy toilet paper. I don't get the connection, man. I don't get it. You go into the stores, the shelves are empty. It's like we were living under a Bernie Sanders administration. Death would not hold Christ, and so death will not hold us. Death is a temporary situation, physical death. You will never die. And frankly, I don't think I'd mind trading in this body. Just saying. Maybe get one with hair. Jesus would see them again in a little while. He would rise again. And the disciples, I may be a little redundant on this point, but nevertheless, it's true. The disciples, this is the end of Christ's ministry. They've been with him for 3.5 years. And what is it that they do? They look at each other and they say, what'd he say? What did he say? You think they'd be used to what Jesus teaches by now. And they look at you, at each other, and they're confused. What'd he say? You know, the other day I had I was in a conversation with a fellow. And we were talking about music and different artists and whatnot. And a particular song came up. And he said to me, and the lyrics of that song are so good. And I said to him, you know, that's true. But here's the problem. There are so many songs with strong, good lyrics performed by artists who you can't understand. Enunciation is not a part of the deal. Apparently, once you've been achieved some degree of success in that business, you don't have to say anything so people can understand you. They just want to hear your mouth make noise. Yeah. Not that Bob Dylan was a Christian singer. He did some Christian music, but you know, it's one down, you know what I'm saying? We're going down and so on. And everybody said, oh, wasn't that wonderful? What do you say? Christian singers, especially if they're singing good lyric, ought to be able to be understood. The disciples are saying, well, what do you say? So you know, I kid a little bit about, just a little, about, you know, singers and musical lyric. But the same is true with teaching. We want to be clear in our teaching. We want to be able to be understood when we're presenting God's word, especially the purity of doctrine. You know, we're giving biblical truth. We want to say it in a fashion that is, as best as we can, understandable. But the disciples, Jesus did that, but the disciples are still saying, what'd he say? There is another side of the coin. A teacher may instruct you flawlessly and with clarity in a way that leaves no room for question. But the hearer may be challenged. The hearer may be unable to grasp a concept, regardless of how it's presented. All you can do is what? Repeat. repeat the truth. Every week, I say a consistent prayer. And some may say, you know, I don't get why he says that same prayer every week. It's because I want that prayer answered every week. I ask God by his Holy Spirit to illuminate Scripture to us, to open our hearts and minds so that we can understand. Because there is no more important word that we need to hear and understand than God's word. And so we make that prayer. I said something last week, and I'm curious if anybody took it to heart. I mean, at least to some degree. How many of you have spent any time this week cleaning your nets at the end of the day? It's important that we prepare ourselves prior to whether we're spending some time in the Word or we're coming to attend worship, that we go to God and ask him to prepare us, to purify our hearts, to cleanse our minds, to rejuvenate them so that we might grasp concepts, that we might be able to hear and understand, that we might not miss a single thing that God has to say to us. As children of God, there's another blessing that we enjoy. And that's that God knows us. He knows our condition. He knows all about us. He knows if we're physically ill, if we're suffering in some way. He knows if we're under, some particular emotional stress. And clearly and most importantly, he knows our spiritual condition. What needs to be spoken to, what needs to be ministered to, what needs to be remedied in the part of us that lives forever. He knows our question before we ever speak it. And Jesus demonstrates. He says, "Are you inquiring among yourselves about what I said?" How embarrassing is that, you know? I mean, the Lord knows. You're not hiding anything. Here you are, the disciples, the 12 chosen guys, the 11 in this case, 11 chosen guys, the gentlemen who have been ordained to preach the word and establish the church. Some of these guys ordained to write the Bible. And you're questioning. And he knows you're questioning. You asking about what I said, guys? But Jesus doesn't wait for a response from them. Instead, he just continues to teach. Time is ticking away. And he continues to teach. I know that at some time in your life you've heard the expression that things aren't always as they appear. Stage illusionists use that kind of language all the time. You know? Things aren't always as they appear. And depending on exactly what it is that's being referenced, we might find that to be good or bad, whatever perspective we're currently holding on that. Jesus says, look, guys, most assuredly, verily, verily, amen, amen, I say to you that you will weep and lament, But the world will rejoice. Do you see anything like that today? In the world in which you live. Do you see anything like that? Jesus is telling the disciples that weeping and sorrow is at hand for them. That their master is leaving them to be abused by men and put to death. But the reaction of the world in general is going to be quite different. The world and all the power of hell. For them, it'll be a time to celebrate. Satan knew that against God he had no chance. He still knows that. He was defeated from the beginning. Yet the wickedness of his nature insists that he still continue to try to overcome Christ. What folly is that? What foolishness. But we do see his efforts continue today. Opposing all that is good while he promotes his own evil. It's not hard to see it. Look at a newspaper. Look at a television set. Listen to a radio. Look out your window. And the thing is that it may appear for a season that the evil one is victorious. Listen, I mentioned between services that in our country today, I know in California, and I know for sure in Michigan, that the governments have said you can't assemble for church services if you got 200 or more people. I hadn't heard, but I'm not going to argue that the governor of this state said more than 100. I'm not going to argue with that because the governor of our state is a politician who marches pretty much in lockstep with whatever is dictated to him. We've never seen that in this country before. Frankly, over something so insignificant as this COVID-19 virus, because it is insignificant on the long-term scale. Have you ever seen grocery stores so depleted? Said the only good thing is the price of gas is down. I'll take that. So it may look for the moment that the evil one is victorious. But the promise of Christ is that it will not last. The psalmist wrote in the 30th Psalm, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And the reason for that is our joy is found in Christ alone." And if, in fact, that is the case with you, your joy can't be shaken. Because Christ will not change. Christ is still the King. Christ is still the victor. Christ is still the conqueror. Jesus uses the illustration of a woman in labor. That event is a painful one. The Creator has designed women to be able to handle that, to go, you know, to function in that way, the way they're supposed to. It doesn't make it easier. Matter of fact, since the fall, it got harder. The painful experience became worse. And though there's often much preparation and there's anticipation for the day to come, you know, people gather together and they have parties. They call them showers. I don't understand that, but never have really, because nobody's taking a bath. But maybe it's because they're showering them with gifts. Maybe, is that it? They shower them with gifts. All right, that's all right. You don't need a clean towel if that's the case. But all of these things, you know, lead up to that time. Other people are so excited for the expectant mother. But when the time arrives, she goes through it alone. There might be people around, but she goes through it alone. She goes through that process alone. And it hurts. And she weeps. But when it's through, they bring this little bundle into her. And all bets are off. That's my little boy, or that's my little girl, and she's got, or he's got all the toes and fingers. He's gorgeous, or she's gorgeous. And in fact, we even refer to that as a bundle of joy. And that's what Jesus is saying to the disciples. He says, therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again. And here's the promise. Your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. Jesus said that. Your joy no one will take from you. That's pretty reassuring. That's comforting. That's the word of God. You know, the world throughout history has had periods where they looked like, all right, we're pretty victorious. But the victory of the world is always short-lived. Jesus stands as the King who conquered sin, who conquered death, who conquered hell. He gives joy to his people. And his promise is that joy lasts forever. Trust him. Rest in his word. And give him thanks for that. Let's pray.